It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Here we go! Good morning, everybody! Welcome into Undisputed. I'm Jen Hale, alongside Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp. Hi, guys. How are we today?
Good morning, good morning.
Well, wonders never cease. Would you believe LeBron and the Lakers are finally a road favorite tonight? It took forever, but they're finally a favorite by 2 points over an Indiana team that came from 17 down to beat them at the Crypt back in November.
Let's talk about that law firm.
Wow.
And I saw Joel Embiid finally beat the Magic.
Huh.
Finally.
Wait, are we talking about the same Magic who have beaten the Celtics three times?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Three times
Did
already.
Did they beat Joel Embiid?
Once, but they beat everybody.
Beat the breaks off
they beat Golden State
they
twice.
Beat,
they beat Dallas. They beat Phoenix.
James? Did they beat Go James?
Yeah.
Did they beat Gold James? No, we blew the doors off him.
I can't even remember.
In front of a sold-out crowd.
Let's do this,
oh, yeah.
Guys.
Yeah, you remember.
Oh, that's one of the rare
We're
going to
unpack.
Night two. Got something for Indy.
All things NBA, gentlemen, I promise. But let's start with that huge news from yesterday morning on the football field. One, Tom Brady announcing his retirement. Jeff Tarlington is now reporting that in Brady's mind, his options were to either retire or return to the Buccaneers. He's also reporting that Brady felt exhausted at the end of the season and left everything he had out on the field. Shannon, what do you make of Darlington's report?
Brady wasn't returning to Tampa. Skippy couldn't win with what he had. You told me his offensive line wasn't good enough. You told me Mike Evans and Chris Godwin wasn't good enough. You told me the running game lacked. So why would he return?
It didn't lack. It was dead last.
Okay, so what were they going to do in the offseason? Make a trade for Trent Williams and Zach Martin and then sign Josh Jacobs in free agency? Or maybe they can make a trade for Tyreek or get some younger, faster receivers. So why would he return? We saw Tom Brady bolt New England when he realized he didn't have enough talent offensively.
Although I think he got pushed out.
Well, he didn't go fighting and screaming, did he? Like, okay.
No.
So I'm just trying to figure. He realized it now, Skip, what you started to see, the fact that you said, well, I would hate to see him go be a mercenary because it was going to require more and more talent on the offensive side just to get Tom Brady to do what he routinely did with lesser tier receivers, with lesser tier offensive line.
Yep.
So why would he go back at 46 and be behind a beat up, bad offensive line when he couldn't get it done at 45? And it's off. And so what? If Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, are they going to get faster, Skip?
No.
Are they going to run different routes?
No.
So Byron Leftwich got fired. So how do we know you're going to get an offensive coordinator that's going to be better than what Byron Leftwich was? Somebody they're going to have to learn. This is what Tom likes to call on first down, second down, third down. This is what he likes to call in this area of the
that
field,
is
this
true.
Down and distance.
I agree.
So it takes time for you to figure out what a guy likes. So, Skip, look. I'm not saying that Jeff Darlington is wrong, but I just don't believe Tom Brady was going back to Tampa.
I think the point is it was Tampa or nothing.
Yeah. Right? I believe it was nothing. Okay. I believe retirement was his only option, considering how bad it went in Tampa, given what was there in Tampa. Skip, how are they going to get better when they're, damn, they're probably $50, $60 million over the cap to begin, at least $25, $30.
I agree. And by the way, you first guessed this. You said you're paying a whole lot of money to players who have been around for a long time, and you might effectively be paying them for what they did instead of what they can do going forward.
But they was hell-bent, Skip, on bringing. No team had ever brought back all 22 starters from a Super Bowl winning team.
Never, ever. And to your credit, you said be careful.
Be careful doing that, Skip.
Okay.
And so for me, I don't think – I think it was nothing. I think retirement was the only option unless he left and went somewhere else, and he got with a team that had more talent, substantial upgraded talent than what he had at Tampa. Like when he left New England, the talent on the offensive side of the football was substantially better than what he had in New England. England. And the defense was younger and better than what he had in New England.
I agree.
So unless he goes to a situation that was a la Tampa 2-3 years ago, Skip,
yeah.
I just didn't see it working out for him. I believe this was the best option for Tom Brady, which was to retire. Because here's the thing, Tom. I don't care how great you are at a sport. You get too old to play football. You get too old to play basketball or baseball. You don't get too old to talk. Bring your butt on over here. Bring your butt on over here to Pico, Skip. You won't necessarily be in this building, but you'll be up under the Fox umbrella.
You will.
And you can talk. As long as you play football, you can have at least that length of career.
Yep.
Talking in that booth.
He will be welcome whenever he's ready.
Yes.
Okay. Back to the report. I do believe that Brady has high loyalty in him. He believes in loyalty. He was loyal to a cause in New England that finally wasn't loyal to him.
Correct.
And I think it ripped his competitive soul out.
Oh,
I'm not sure he's ever going to get over that one.
No, you won't. He
because
won't.
It did not end the way it was supposed to end.
Right.
He should have ended there.
Right.
Somehow, some way, I don't know. But it was meant for him to end there. And you know how that felt. You know what happened to you in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you were going to be in the Hall of Fame, so it was going to fit for you just to end it once and for all in Denver, right?
Yes.
It doesn't work that way.
Skip, remember we talked about LeBron?
Yeah.
When you invest so much in something and when it doesn't go your way, the relationship in New England, think about how much he invested. Then all of a sudden, somebody on the other end of the relationship didn't want him.
Okay. And I believe he was it. He was the biggest reason by far that that they were a dynasty.
Yes. Oh.
And I think that's come clearer and clearer since he left.
I can't fight you anymore.
Okay. But the point was, I think Kraft is weighing, Tom's up there, and Tom was in the same, I'm sorry, Kraft is in the same camp. A whole lot of people, including you, were in like, is Tom about to lose it? Is he about to fall off the proverbial cliff?
Correct.
This is the end of New England. Because the last pass he throws in New England gets pick-sixed by Logan Ryan, right?
His later buddy, became a teammate.
I know, became a teammate. Okay, so it ended horribly in New England, given the fact that he's on his way to being the GOAT.
Right.
All right, so all of a sudden, many of the naysayers, many of the doubters are saying, Tom, it's time to go on home. You've been told by New England it's time for you just to go on home.
Correct.
And instead he says, no, I've got something left here. And we're kind of scouring the countryside saying, well, where exactly is he going to go? And nobody could see this coming except for him.
Right.
And I got to tell you, this was a genius move on his part. You got to give him credit because I didn't see it. You didn't see it.
Nobody
predicted it.
Nope.
He said, wait a second, that team down there, all the way down there in Florida, that team that went 7-9 last year, they're loaded.
Central Florida.
Wow. Wait a second. They got two Pro Bowl receivers, mm-hmm. two guys who made the Pro Bowls.
Right.
Mike Evans, Chris Godwin made the Pro Bowl.
Right.
And wait a second. That defense coached by Todd Bowles, it was coming alive. I told you down the stretch of the season before he got there.
Uh-huh.
The last six or seven games, they started to look like a top five defense.
Well, they were a playoff team if Jameis done turned the ball over 35 times.
He turned it over 35 times, and it tears up everything that you're trying to accomplish. It undercuts everything. As you know, turnover, it's the whole story. And he says, well, I think I got a shot there. And Tampa said, we welcome you with open arms.
Yes.
What can we do for you? Well, you could get me Antonio Brown if you could.
Right.
And this guy Gronk that I know, he's my best buddy. You know, could we figure out a way to get him in here?
Right.
Sure, we can do that.
Exactly.
What else do you need? Well, let's do this, just this. I can't remember. Was Lenny Fournette there yet?
No. Nope.
Okay.
They signed Lenny Fournette in free agency.
All right, we need him.
They drafted Tristan Wirth.
They did.
They traded up to get him.
Okay. They did everything Tom needed. They turned it over to him and said, you do this. And he did it.
Right.
And they're in a pandemic year, and he turns it around, turns it up on its head. Talk about standing on your head. They flipped the script completely and go from 7-9 to winning the Super Bowl. It's unheard of.
Yeah.
It was his, I believe, his greatest achievement for a whole season. And I believe that he developed a lot of loyalty, a feeling of deep loyalty for them.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact from a very high place source in that front office that they badly wanted him to come back, and they were doing everything in their power to say, let's try it again. But to your point, Tom's looking at like, I don't see a way out of this one. How can we be Can we be a little bit better than last year? Well, they were 8-10.
Right.
Well, can you be a lot better? Can you turn it completely around? It sure doesn't look right. Like it because they're so strapped against the cap.
But Skip, even if they're a little better, are they close to the Eagles? Look at what the Eagles got. The Eagles are loaded, are set for right. years to come.
Right, and that's the same Eagles team that just a year ago in the first round of the playoffs visited down there and had no chance.
Yes.
But they have arrived.
Yes.
Because the quarterback got a whole lot better than he was a year ago,
get A.J. Brown.
Okay, you went and got A.J. Brown, and you got Hassan Reddick, and all of a sudden it clicked. It took off.
Yes.
Yes, Bradbury's a big addition.
Yes.
All of a sudden, they're way better than they were, and they've come of age because the quarterback arrived.
Yes.
Okay, so Tom's looking at that saying, we can't deal with that.
Right.
We can't suddenly flip some new switch here. But he did have loyalty to them, and I stand by what I said right out of the box yesterday, as you just alluded to.
Right.
If you look around and you say, I think I'll go to the Raiders or maybe to San Francisco for one last hurrah year, it looks bad on your resume because it looks like you're just ring chasing, like desperately ring chasing.
Right.
I'll try there.
Right.
I'll try there. And you come across as the ultimate late career mercenary.
Right.
And that mercenary is the operative word here because it looks bad.
Yes.
And I don't know if he had it in his system to start over. It's hard. As you know, it's hard to just start over.
Right.
We came out here, what are we up to now? It was seven years ago.
Yep.
And we had to start over, and it takes a whole lot of energy out of you, which brings me to Jeff Darlington's second point, that insiders are saying that Tom was emotionally exhausted from the divorce and the fallout through the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. Well, I kept telling you, he just went through and finalized a divorce in the middle of a football season. I can speak on my little tiny level here. I went through one once upon a time. A woman I was with from the time I was 14 years old until I was 27 years old. Mm-hmm. And we just grew apart because we grew up together.
Right.
And then we grew up apart and it just wasn't going to work. And I had to go with her to tell her parents we were splitting because I was so close to her parents because they became more of my parents than my parents did.
Right.
So we had to go sit in the living room and tell them we're just not going to work. And they were devastated, and it devastated me. So I get that, the emotional torment of
imagine.
It, the upheaval of it, to have to go through this. But I didn't have any kids. He's got to worry, are they going to be okay? How are we going to do this? Mm-hmm. We're not a two-parent household anymore.
Right.
So, again, the trauma, the emotional trauma of that, and then all around him, the season's just unraveling. It becomes a disaster.
He didn't come back for that.
No, he didn't come back for
that. But, Skip, I was saying all along, I said, Skip, I believe the divorce is taking more of a toll on him than what you or others or he even letting on to be. Skip, he has started to get gaunt. Mm-hmm. He has started to look hollow in the face.
And I agreed with you once it was announced that he had finalized a divorce. It was like at midseason.
Right.
And he did look gaunt, and I think it was just because of what we're talking about.
It started early, Skip. You know, you've been around the game far too long, and you know how training camps are. They want everybody in training camp. When they excuse a guy for 11 days to deal with something personal, and it's not health-related,
that lets
you know the seriousness of this nature.
Right. So all of a sudden, he's looking around him, and the offensive line that I thought – especially in the Super Bowl year, I thought it might be the best offensive line.
It had gotten really good.
Okay, it had gotten really good really quickly. And all of a sudden, it was a disaster because you lost the middle three guys because you lost your center in training camp. And he tried to come back at the end of the year, but he couldn't.
Right.
And you lost Kappa as a premium free agent to Cincinnati. And then Marpet retired. And all of a sudden, Donovan Smith just had a bad year.
He had an awful year.
He had an awful year. And he got hurt. And then Tristan Wirfs got hurt and was about half a man at the end of the year. And if you can't protect a 45-year-old and you fall to 24th in pass block win rate, trust me, it's going to look terrible, especially if you can't run the ball. So what did I tell you? That the front office is looking at the second level numbers and they're saying, wait a second, on play action passes, Tom Brady is leading the NFL in QBR and play action, but we are dead last in trying play action. We only do it 15% of the time. And we're saying, because you can't run the ball. Nobody respects it.
You ain't fooling no one.
They're laughing at you if you try to play action fake,
Right.
OK, so that didn't work. And then they're looking at the numbers. In the fourth quarter, he led the league in passing yards and touchdown passes. Why? Because they kept falling behind.
Yes.
And then they would go no huddle, and they would play faster in the fourth quarter. And I'd say, well, maybe you should try playing faster in the second quarter or the third quarter. And they didn't. And so there's philosophical clashing going on. And then here's the big final point. And this may have been the turning point of the year. I believe, and I don't know this for a fact, but I'm pretty sure, and you concurred, Tom Brady wanted Bruce Arians out of his hair.
Yes.
Because there was the report that Bruce would come in on Fridays and take what he and Byron had concocted,
right,
whatever their game plan was, and they'd gone over it for night after night, and Bruce would take his red pencil and say, no,
right,
no, this, this, and this. What? And he wanted him out this year,
yeah,
kicked upstairs.
Yes.
Well, I know management believes that was a huge mistake on Tom Brady's part,
yes,
because they think the offense missed whatever flair he had, or what he'd been doing it a long time, and you know all the the great quarterbacks he had coached, and that it missed his overseeing,
mm-hmm,
his input. And if that's all true, then that was a huge error on Tom's part, where they actually, that they were drifting without
Skip,
him.
That's always the case. When you're growing up, you don't realize your parents get on your nerves.
Yep.
I wish I would be glad when I get grown and don't have to listen to this. And then once you get grown, you realize, like, damn, they knew exactly what they were talking about.
Yep.
Like, who knew they had been my age, but I had never been their age?
Yep.
And so what Tom didn't realize is that the impact or the influence of what Bruce Arians actually provided, because he just got tired of, oh, you're not in the meeting with me, Byron. You're not doing this. You just coming in because you're the head coach and scratching and scribbling it out. And that's not fair to us.
Okay, but maybe those scratches and scribbles were...
Maybe he knew that was some bull jive.
Right, maybe, right?
Skip, but you know this. As we start to age, it takes us longer to do the things that was just routinely. Skip, it takes me longer to get dressed in the morning. I used to roll out of bed and be fully dressed and out the door in 10 minutes. Now it's 15, 20, 25 minutes to do the same thing when I was much younger.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom needs to understand, it takes him more talent.
Yep.
Now all of a sudden, Chris Godwin's not a bad receiver. Mike Evans is not a bad receiver.
Heck no.
Mike Evans just has 1,000 yards receiving every year he's been in the NFL.
Yep.
Even that's not enough now.
No.
So he needs more and more. Now he needs guys like Devontae. Now he needs guys like Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and top tier at every position in order to do what he used to do, Skip, with guys from Dorchester.
Yep. No, I'm with you. Okay, so now we get to the emotional aspect of it. And it's the hardest part to discuss, because who knows except one human, and that's that guy. But if, in fact, he was just burned out from the season and from going through the divorce, if, in fact, he was just emotionally exhausted, I have some concern for him going forward, because that's not the ideal way to step away.
Right.
Because you know and I know what happens. Okay, so you retire, and it's your second time, and you say, that's it, and we all conclude, that better be it.
Right.
You can't do this again, right? And it felt final.
It did.
Right?
It did.
It felt like permanent.
Right.
Great. Way to go. Great career. We all wish him well. Well, now he's got time to cool out. I don't know if he's going to have Fox, some interaction with us or not, but whatever. He's got time to chill.
Right.
And let's say 6 months pass, and all of a sudden, he wakes up one morning and he says, you know what? I'm feeling a lot better now. I've kind of slept it all off.
Right.
Well, that would be the moment when he would say, I don't have football anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And of all the people you've known, all the people you played with, all the Hall of Famers you've known, this guy, having played until he was 45, you could argue is going to have the most difficult time of letting go of all of it.
Absolutely.
Of coming down from all of it.
I agree.
And especially, it wasn't the classic decision of, nobody wants me anymore. I'm too beat up. I just can't do it anymore. I'm sorry, I retire.
Right.
You know, that's the traditional way. Mm-hmm. That's what happens.
Yeah.
With this guy, if he's saying, I'm just exhausted right now. Well, in 6 months, he won't be exhausted. I hope he doesn't wake up one morning and say, God, what did I do?
Well,
I can still play.
You can, Skip. And to go back to what you said about the mental anguish of going through a divorce, because he has played out publicly, And now everybody had an opinion what transpired.
Yeah.
Was it Tom's fault? Was it her fault? Was it, did he retire because she wanted it to? Did he unretire because of this? So everything starts to play out publicly because you're a public figure. See, if he was a private person, people get divorced every day, and you don't hear a damn thing about it.
No.
And that's why I've always tried to keep my relationship, because if I break up, I'm together in private, I break up in private. Whatever issues we may have, we're going to deal with them in private, and y'all not going to have an opinion. I'm not going to be tabloid fodder.
Right.
I'm not going to be the topic of every radio and TV.
Yep.
Well, what's going on with Tom? And so, Skip, that's hard on an individual. That's why they always ask, well, what, Skip? Please respect our privacy through this most difficult time. Good luck with that one.
Yeah, especially here.
Yes.
Okay, so I don't know where his head's going to be, if he's going to really have to reach down and fight through this in 6 months, because it's not the typical way that you retire. It felt like, because of external circumstances, he was almost forced to say, well, I'm loyal to Tampa because they were loyal to me.
Correct.
So it's Tampa or nothing.
Yeah.
I don't want to look like a mercenary going over here or here or here or here. I have no choice right now but to stop.
Right.
But in 6 months, would he say, I feel pretty great. I look back, you know, he'll look back. I know his mentality enough to know. He'll look back and say, well, I did set the completion record.
Yeah.
Again, because you had no running game. Right. You threw it every down, right?
Well, let me ask you this, Skip. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, the season ended for him 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and he takes another 2-3 weeks off. Does he go back into a routine and where he starts throwing
That's
and getting
ready? That's a very good question.
Because if he takes his longer than normal time, he'll be fine. But it's once he gets back into the rigors as if he is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, damn, man, the arm feel good. The leg, the body feels good.
Yep.
I'm refreshed. I'm recharged.
Okay.
How soon does he go back, or if he goes back, to pick up what he's done for the last 25, 26 years?
Will he keep his personal trainer with him?
Yeah, well, you know, I think
Alex Guerrero, will they just stay a twosome? Will they hang together? Will they see each other every day for some kind of session?
Well, Jeff Darlington said in the last thing, he said there's more to remaining ageless than velocity of a pass.
Well,
so obviously Alex Guerrero will be on his staff still, because of what, you know, concoctions that they make, the juice and the avocado ice cream and the stretching and the pliability.
Yep.
So all that's a part of that helps you defy aging.
Okay. All I know for
hold
a fact,
it off. You can't defy it, but you can hold it off.
I've worked with a whole lot of people who played the games of basketball and football.
Mm-hmm.
As great as it is to work here, as great as you have been at your job, as invested as you are, that has become your life,
it's not
you have.
It's not, Skip.
It just can't get there.
It's not.
As much as Tom will be great on this network, it won't scratch the deepest itch, because you're looking down into the arena instead of in the arena looking up at the press box.
It is, Skip. It's just different. And the things that we would say and what we would do in the locker room is going to get your butt in HR here.
Yeah.
all the jokes he used to play and all the stories he told.
It's a good point.
And that's the thing, Skip.
And what have you always said? The one thing you cannot replace is the camaraderie of the locker room, because it's a moment in time, and you're with 50-odd people in a locker room, and they're from everywhere and all walks of life and faiths and cultures and all this, but you're a unit. You are a brotherhood in the locker room, but you're all heading somewhere else, whether you like it or not, because this game, especially your game, it's finite.
It is.
It's going to get you before you get it.
Excuse me, at least they got a celebrity basketball game and you can go coach and stuff like that. Ain't no celebrity football game.
No.
Ain't no celebrity. And all-star game.
That's another great point.
Skip, you know, in baseball, they got a celebrity softball game.
Well, you can't go play Big Three, you know, like, right?
No.
You just can't do it.
No. And Skip in the locker room, hey, Sharp, they holler across, hey, Sharp, check this out. Or Tom Brady, they might call him Brady, they might call him, hey, 12, check this out. Who am I hollering? Hey, Bayless, check this out, man. What happened last night? Hey, Barney. It's different.
It's different.
It just is. And unless you've been in that environment.
Right.
And as long as he's been in it longer than anybody.
Than anybody.
So it is. I agree with you. It's going to be harder for him to walk away, to let it go, because he's developed so many more relationships over the years, players and coaches. I bet you no less than 100 people have Tom Brady's number. No less than 100.
Yeah, okay.
Because he's an open, man, everybody, yep. Because, I mean, somebody was like, I was waiting to see if Tom was really like what they say. Is he like what he, is he publicly like yep. this? Is he like this behind closed doors? They're like, nah, he really that dude. Man, you can call Tom. Yep. You don't have to call his secretary to get an appointment to
That's
talk to him.
That's a good point. Very good point.
He just one of the guys. And all of a sudden, he goes from being one of the guys to, he and he's not going to have that kind of trust coming into a situation. That's built up over years, Skip. Because you see that guy every single day. There's not a, for 7-8 months, every day, you saw Devin McCourty, or you saw Hightower, or you saw Gronk, or you saw this one and a that one.
Yep. Great point. I don't envy what he's going to have to go through.
Nah, it's more difficult than he really knows.
Yeah,
I don't
that's
think
a
he
great
has,
point
I don't
also.
Think he has any idea how difficult it's going to be for him.
Well, this family here will make it a little easier.
Yeah, we're going to make it easy on you, Tom. Come on over here. You got anything, any question you might have, your boy's an open book.
Yeah.
We can't wait to welcome him in. Indeed, a time of a lot of change for Tom Brady.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, Skip, let's discuss your Cowboys. Reports are that Mike McCarthy will become the Cowboys' play caller. This, of course, after the team parted ways with Kellen Moore. Jerry Jones confirmed those reports. Yes, indeed. He was talking to Calvin Watkins of the Dallas Morning News yesterday. Take a listen.
This is the logical step to build on it and use what we've established, or if you will, the foundation of the wins we've got. This is a time for us to build on it, and that's what this is. This is a building step.
Offensively, will you keep the same offense, or will you go back to what Mike used to run in Green Bay?
It will be, I'm sure, with added nuances of the times, but more importantly, the personnel. But it will be in principle, the way he operated in Green Bay, which I'm sure he'll tell you evolved.
All right, Skip, you've had some time to let this one marinate.
Unfortunately,
son. How are you feeling about this situation now?
Yeah, how you feel about it?
By the way, more Jerry hocus pocus, more phony baloney. I don't even know what he's talking about half the time. A building step? Where did that come from?
You like the hat, Jerry? Where? You like the hat?
I did kind of like the hat. Yeah. Made him look a little younger.
Yeah.
Okay. I did think about this last night, and it finally hit me just before I went to bed. You know what? Let's do this. Mike McCarthy, you are on.
Okay.
And you're on the hot seat because I want you to show us that all those years that you call plays for Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers will make you more qualified than Kellen Moore was. That all those years in Green Bay will allow you to take our offense with the Dallas Cowboys up a whole another level from Kellen Moore, who simply over his 4 years was second only to Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid's offense in points scored and yards gained. Second over 4 years to Kansas City's offense. I want you, Mike, to show us. You're on. Yeah. You got us. Show us that you can make Dak Prescott a little better than Aaron Rodgers was the year that you went on that road wild card run to a Super Bowl. That was 12 years ago, right? Or, we're going 13. Let's call it 13 years ago. Show us you can do that, because I said the moment that this story broke, I told you it's clear to me that Mike McCarthy just won the power struggle with Kellen Moore.
Right.
And Stephen Jones confirmed yesterday, yes, they had philosophical clashes. Well, duh, they were going to, because here came Mike McCarthy. Yeah, I want to be the Cowboy head coach. And Jerry and Stephen tell him, you're going to be the head coach, but you can't have anything to do with the offense because we're going to keep Kellen Moore.
Right.
Well, I don't think he loved it. I think that was a tough pill for him to swallow.
Right.
And he had to sit there and watch Kellen Moore. And I'm sure behind closed doors, he began to say, let's try that. No, let's try. Right. How about, no, this is the way I do it. Right.
Right.
Okay. So now now you're on. And what I love about this is going to speed a conclusion one way or the other about Mike McCarthy, mm-hmm. because next year, you want to talk about a hotter and hotter seat every NFL Monday. I cannot wait to come in here and sit across from you and critique what Mike McCarthy called the day before, because he wanted this.
Right.
He won the power struggle. Philosophical differences. Kellen Moore is now coaching Justin Herbert with the Chargers. I told you right out of the box, I like the Chargers to win the AFC next year just because of that move right there.
Okay.
I'll be rooting for the Chargers because I root for Kellen Moore because he was not the problem. My quarterback was the problem. Kellen Moore didn't miss a single throw at San Francisco. He called plays that had CD open deep twice, that had Michael Gallup wide open deep at the end of the game. Could have changed my life with one throw on the money. And it was way off the mark. So in the end, I'm saying, thank you, Jerry. You put your man, your new brother-in-law, Mike McCarthy, you put him on the hottest seat because we get to see if he can turn my offense into Green Bay's Super Bowl offense. Mike, are you going to be our catalyst? Are you going to be our missing ingredient? I say a big N-O to that. I say we will miss Kellen Moore, but I'm happy that Please Drop the Mike McCarthy is on the hottest seat because he got what he wanted, and I'm saying I'm going to sit back and critique. Here we go.
Well, Skip, I remember when he got the job, you was thinking, well, I wonder if he's going to – because at this time, I think Kellen Moore was interviewing for the head coaching job at Boise State.
Yep.
He was interviewing for some other jobs.
He did.
But he ended up coming back because I think you thought all along, okay, well, he's going to call the plays. But they said, no, we're going to keep it the same because Kellen Moore has been in Dak's ears for the last several years, and we don't want
to – I thought Dak loved it, or Dak always just pledged allegiance to him. Go ahead.
So when I look at it, okay, he called plays in Green Bay, and he got fired. Mm-hmm. Do you think Dak Prescott – right now is as good as Aaron Rodgers was at that point in time? No.
Wait, which point? Like 2010? Like Super Bowl Aaron?
Yeah.
Super Bowl MVP? Is this a joke?
Skip, go ahead. In 2018, Mike McCarthy went 6-9-1.
Yep.
They had Devontae Adams. Do you think CeeDee Lamb is the equivalent of Devontae Adams?
Unfortunately, I don't.
Okay, they had Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. Jamal Williams just went for 15 touchdowns. That year, mm-hmm. Aaron Jones had 8 touchdowns. 782 yards. They also had Jimmy Graham, Randall Cobb, MVS, Robert Tonyan, and Mercedes Lewis.
You know what? That's loaded. That is.
And he went 6-9-1.
That's pretty special,
yes!
What you just described right there.
People don't realize how much talent Green Bay had.
That's a good
with
point.
With Bakhtiari, with that offensive line. And he got fired calling plays. Okay, we're about to find out. Because I believe it had more to do with Aaron Rodgers than your play calling. Now you get an opportunity because I don't believe your quarterback is as talented as Aaron Rodgers. I don't believe your wide receiver is as good as Devontae. Mm-hmm. I don't believe the auxiliary pieces. Yeah, I Pollard, but your bell cow back, the guy that you paying $16 million, look at what the guys that's in the Super Bowl, Skip. Look at their running backs. They play, I think Kansas City, I saw a stat, Kansas City playing their three running backs like $7, $8 million. Philadelphia playing their running backs like $5, $6 million.
Yep.
They pay Zeke $16 million. Two teams in the Super Bowl, and their running backs don't cost as much as one of your backs that's in the cow at Dallas. Mm. Mike McCarthy, look, I don't believe it was Kellen Moore's fault. That last play in Seattle notwithstanding, I know it left a lot of it. I'm like, what the hell are y'all doing? Zeke at center?
You mean in San Francisco?
In San Francisco, the last play they called it San Francisco.
Yep.
When Zeke was at center.
I mean, it was just an embarrassment, but I'll give him a pass on that.
But what about the other 4 years of calling plays where y'all got second in points and second in yards? At some point in time, your quarterback got some. The really good ones can overcome a bad play call. That's what the really good ones can do. You think Andy Reid is right on the money every time he calls a damn play for Patrick Mahomes?
Well, I got to tell you, about half the time, the best plays he makes are outside the pocket, just playing backyard football.
Yes,
seriously.
But that's what that's what the really good quarterbacks can do. That's not Kellen Moore's fault. That Dak has 7 straight games where he threw it directly to the other team. In 3 of those games, they were pick sixes. It's not his fault. But Jerry said a lot of things in his interview about they're going to draft a quarterback, but he got the utmost confidence in Dak. And the reason why we were here because of Dak. Yep. But I hate the fact that we didn't take a quarterback over the last couple of years. That don't sound like a guy that's really confident in his quarterback, Skip. I don't know how you read that. He said a lot of things about how we misread the team.
They're talking about taking another Dak in the 3rd or 4th round.
But he said how we misread the tea leaves. And we've seen a lot of the contenders over the last couple of years invest heavily and win it. Jerry, Okay, you keep developing players, and in 28 years, you ain't been back to the NFC Championship game. If you just said that there, you have no idea the size of the check that I would write to win that Super Bowl one last time, you might want to try the other team's way. Because they seem to be having success. You talk about, well, they pay for it down the road. You paying for it. You've been kicking the can down the road for 28 years, and they got a damn thing to show for it.
Okay, but how? How does he have local, like, inner circle bragging rights when he goes to dinner with his and Gene's friends in Dallas? What are his biggest bragging rights from? I run the draft.
Yes.
I have final say. I make the pick.
Right.
I picked CeeDee Lamb. It was my call.
He got the most valuable. His team is more valuable than the Eagles and the Rams and all these other teams. But, and see, Skip, that's why he can hang his hat and do it his way. There's no repercussions. He's still going to have the most valuable franchise. He's still going to serve the most merchandise. So what incentive, Skip, if I can do that, what incentive do I have to try and win the Super Bowl if I'm still going to do, you see what the Monday night game did? 40-plus million. You do what the Thanksgiving Day game did?
The playoff.
Playoff game.
Yes.
You see that? Skip, so what's my incentive?
Well, you know what's going to happen. And he can sell you right back. We just went 12-5 and 12-5.
Yeah.
And you know what I respond to? And what did you do against San Francisco twice?
Right.
2 years in a row. You laid two of the biggest eggs this franchise has ever laid in playoff games, back-to-back years against the same team.
I thought the ultimate goal, because you say you don't have your mortality, you've come in face-to-face with it, was to hold that trophy one more time, look at it like you did Steven when Gene gave birth to Steven and Charlotte and Jerry Jr., the way you looked at that.
Yep.
I thought that's what you wanted to do. But if you okay with 12-5, if you okay with having the most valuable franchise in all of pro sports, have at it. But you probably need to change it. Well, Skip, after 28 years of doing something one way and not getting the results that you've seen you've had before, you would think, what company, Skip, would do something the exact same way? Hell, even McDonald's added chicken tenders and chicken strips now. Even Popeye's added a chicken sandwich.
Well, they have to, because the competition is just cutthroat.
Okay, the competition.
I know, it's cutthroat in his league, except he could sell you back. Yeah, but we're the most valuable team in the world.
Yes!
How are you the most valuable team? Well, we're the most interesting team.
Yes.
More people love and hate us than any other team in the league, so our TV ratings are number one. That's what he'd sell back to.
There are a lot of teams that's gotten multiple Super Bowls. As a matter of fact, what you call them, got six of them since you last won one. The Broncos got three. The Ravens got two. I mean, since you last won, there are a lot of teams that got Super Bowls in your division.
Yep. Okay, go this direction with me, because you know what used to happen in Green Bay. They took the West Coast. I'm going back to your brother, like at the end of your brother's run.
Yeah.
They became a West Coast offense team because Andy Reid was a disciple of
the West Coast offense. Mike Holmgren.
It started with the great Bill Walsh, close friend of mine.
Mike was up under Bill.
He was.
Coach Walsh.
So it came from there.
Yes.
And remnants of it were passed down to Mike McCarthy.
Right.
Okay. My point to you is, Dak, you better be ready because they're going to change it all. They're going to go back to whatever he was calling in Green Bay, and all the language will change.
Right.
All the symbols will change.
Right.
Everything changes.
Right.
You're going to start over with the new offense, Mr. Prescott, that you've never seen before.
Because Mike McCarthy was the tight end coach under Paul Hackett in Kansas City.
Yeah.
So he brought West Coast.
Paul Hackett loved Mike McCarthy.
I don't know
why. But anyway, he knew him from Pitt and Pittsburgh, because Mike's from Pitt. Okay, go ahead.
But it seems to me, Skip, if you look at Tampa, you look at the Rams, you look at the Eagles, they added substantial talent via free agency.
Mm-hmm.
The Cowboys seems to be unwilling to do it that way. They want to continue to build through the draft. And that's fine. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. But if there's a piece, we see pieces that end up, Hassan Reddick, did he not impact the NFC Championship game? Did Von Miller the year before?
I'm just saying, Von Miller changed life for the Rams. I don't care what you say. You can tell me J-Ram. You can tell me whatever.
Yeah.
Who else? Well, you can tell me Matt Stafford. That was a big move for them. But listen, Von Miller was the difference maker.
Yeah.
And probably would have been in Buffalo this year if he had not gotten hurt.
Look at the impact A.J. Brown had on.
It is huge. Changed life.
Yeah.
Just,
and you get a Bradbury.
Right.
And you get a Hassan Reddick.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, look at Tampa Bay, the Buccaneers. And you get Tom Brady.
You add Leonard Fournette, who played really well.
And Antonio Brown. Okay,
yes.
Here we go.
Gronk.
Okay. They went outside the draft to yes.
And Ndamukong Suh.
Yep.
You added key pieces.
JPP. I know. I got it. Everybody else is doing it except my team. And my team is Jerry. I got final say on the draft. I got this,
he does.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. And he's there are those great stats out there that the Dallas Cowboys over the – this is – we're going back 2 years now. Yeah. But over the previous 10 years, mm-hmm. all the way up through – it would be 2010 to 2020.
Yeah.
Dallas drafted the second best to guess who?
Casey.
The Chiefs. Mm-hmm. Okay. And by the way, the Chiefs just keep that Brett Veach, he just keeps on keeping on nailing the draft.
Because all their guys they're drafting are contributing. They're okay. playing, starting.
All right, but they got one big advantage over my team. Andy Reid went up in the first round of the draft and took a quarterback who is arguably the best quarterback playing right now.
Right.
And he's going to try, in your point of view, to make a GOAT case at some point.
Yes.
Because he's that talented.
Think about, yeah.
My quarterback is not that talented.
No.
He was a fourth-round pick who in the biggest moments plays like a fourth-round pick.
Correct.
That's the problem. I got 7 years body of work. You keep telling me
he is what he is.
Okay? He's middle of the pack Dak. Okay? Will play calling change that? Well, I hope so. Show me. Do it, Mike.
Well, you're definitely going to get – you need more receivers than CD. Because if you look at the West Coast, you need multiple guys, 2-3 guys that are tremendous run after the catch.
Well, speaking
and
of
only
draft,
CD was, is that.
They banked heavily on their third-round pick, Jalen Tolbert.
Skip the bank, didn't banked, he dress?
He wasn't dressing at the end of the year. They tried and they failed, and I fear – I don't want to condemn the kid too quickly, but it feels like they swung and missed.
Yeah.
That's what they think.
Well, he's going to have a bounce back. He's going to have to go back to the lab this offseason. Because they're counting on him. They got rid of Amari. Skip, he said he had no regrets about getting rid of Amari, but the guys that he had didn't step up. Well, you have regrets. Yeah, did you? So you thought Noah Brown? You thought Noah Brown was going to fill Amari's shoe?
Remember, to Jerry's credit, he did get infatuated with Odell, but the problem was Odell just wasn't ready.
I've
seen the new video of Odell, and he looks like he's running straight ahead. God bless him.
Yeah,
but he wasn't ready to help my team this year.
Yeah, Skip. And the receivers very rarely run straight ahead. It's a lot of cutting. It's a lot of in and out. It's a lot of break, plant, cut.
A whole lot. I mean, that's more than half the battle.
Yeah.
Well.
And the competition
Mike.
In your division does not help, Skip.
Well, we went from the least to the beast.
Yeah.
Right?
Because I don't think that the Eagles are going to take a step back.
No.
And the Giants look like they're coming.
I agree.
It's going to be fun to watch next season. All right, gentlemen, something else we're watching. This scoring record in the NBA, is it going down?
Yeah,
will LeBron pass Kareem as the all-time leading scorer this week? Ooh. Let's discuss when we come back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Is on LeBron James, 89 points away from passing Kareem on that all-time scoring list. Tonight, Lakers face off against the Pacers. Since his birthday is December 30th, LeBron is averaging nearly 35 points a game. Shannon, what's your best guess on when he passes Kareem?
Skip, it's really hard to say without knowing if he's going to play all these games. Based on his scoring average, what he's averaging right now, it seems to be next Tuesday against the OKC Thunder. But the question is, does he play tonight, not play, Saturday night against the Pelicans? I don't know, because we've seen him play back-to-back. And then we see him sit a game of the back-to-back. Sit the first, play the second. Or play the first, miss the second. So, this is what I'll say. I'm assuming, this is all I can do, Skip, because I don't have any first-hand knowledge or second- or third-hand knowledge. I'm going to say it's Tuesday. I'm hoping it's Tuesday because I'm going to be in attendance.
No, that's true.
And if he doesn't...
We're going to the Super Bowl on Wednesday. Yep. Okay.
And if he does it Thursday, I would be disappointed because I want to say I've seen a significant record in my lifetime.
That's a great point. Yep. Maybe he'd do it for you.
Man, I want to be there. I just... I look, I just don't know. I'm gonna say he played really well tonight, gets really close, but does he play against the Pelicans? That's the unknown, Skip. Does he play against the Pelicans on Saturday night? Because now he gets 30, I believe he'll score somewhere 30, 35 points tonight. Now that leaves him, what, 54 points short. He doesn't play, he gets 30. Now that's 24 points against Milwaukee, and it's going to happen against Milwaukee. I believe he wants to break it at home. I really do, in front of the crowd at the crib, in front of his fans, even though his fans are all over the NBA. But it seems to me the ticket prices indicate that they think he's going to break it on Tuesday, because I saw some floor seats going for $75,000 each.
Yep.
And that's because they believe he's going to break that record then, Skip. And we see team, you know, the schedule is they're trying to jockey it to make sure this is going to be a televised game. It's not going to be Kareem in 84, Skip, doing it, I think, Thomas and Mack in Las Vegas.
In the shadows.
In the shadows. Mm-hmm. This thing is going to be televised to the umpteenth degree.
It should be.
So I'm going to say OKC. Just because I don't have any other reason not to say OKC. Because if I knew, Skip, like, okay, he's going to play tonight, then miss the Pelicans, and then he'll have two games, then I'll say it would be Milwaukee on Thursday tonight. But I'm going to say he plays the next three games, and I'm going to say it's going to be the seventh against OKC.
Okay. Speaking with heart overhead, probably, but I think you could be right. Allow me to say, I am astonished that LeBron James, since his birthday night at Atlanta, has averaged 35 points a game. It's just impossibly great at this stage, this age. 38, you're 20.
Right.
Can't be, is.
Right.
And because of 35 a game over the last 14 games, 35 a game over 14,
right.
He's on the doorstep. Before I was ready for him to be on the doorstep.
Yeah.
Because I projected it out. We talked about this, I don't know, two months ago.
Yeah.
And I was out into April because I thought back-to-backs. And surely he'll have some pull of something, you know, a little groin issue or something, and he'll miss six games. And he did. Okay. But now he's on an all-time torrential tear. First, allow me also to say that this is so unusual to me because it's the flip side of the baseball home run records, because this is way before your time and everybody else's time, but I'm old enough to remember when Roger Maris was trying to track down Babe Ruth in 1961 to hit 61 home runs in 61.
Right.
The stories are legendary. His hair was falling out because he was under so much pressure, because he wasn't the most naturally gifted home run hitter.
Right.
He just was on a hot streak.
Right.
LeBron is obviously an all-time gifted scorer.
And they didn't want him to break Babe's record.
No.
Babe was beloved.
Beloved.
They didn't want you to break it.
No. And it's not like Kareem is beloved, because he's really not beloved.
That is correct.
Okay? So it's so different to try to hit a baseball out of the park that's pitched 90 to 100 miles an hour.
Right.
That's changing.
All over the place.
Yeah. It's harder to do it on cue than for LeBron to score on cue, because he can.
Right.
He can score at will, even now, because he's 6'9", 260. He looks about as explosive as he was at 28 years of age. And my point is, when he was asked the other night after the game, do you feel any weight, as in W-E-I-G-H-T, weight on your shoulders? Like, is this weighing you down, the pressure to break? And he's like, no. He said, I'm going to do this. Because he said, I'm going to play several more years.
Right.
Well, obviously, the pressure is nil.
No.
There's zero pressure to break it. In fact, you're so in control of this record, the all-time scoring record, that you can actually set your own narrative.
Right.
Seriously. He's got the highest IQ in basketball. It's right up there with Magic's and Bird's and anybody else. So you know, and I know, he is calculating.
Yeah.
And can actually do this on cue, where he could just... He can control it to the point where, if he wants to miss the Pelicans game, like you said, you can sort of you can mix and match.
Do you think tonight dictates? Okay, he goes and gets 35-40 tonight.
Yes, and then you recalibrate. Okay, you recalculate.
Okay, what the Pelicans?
How am I going to do this? Do I want to score 20 against the Pelicans, because he's 89 points away from breaking? Okay. I think he's even thinking down to what kind of shot do I want to shoot.
He's throwing the sky hook.
Do you think so?
He's throwing the sky hook.
Okay, you think he's going to shoot the skyhook to break the record?
Yes.
Do you really?
Yes.
To pay homage to the great one?
He's going
to
throw the skyhook.
You know this for a fact?
I do not know this, Skip.
Seriously.
But I see him warming up, and he's practicing it an awful lot.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, that's a great note. I hadn't thought of it. That would be beautiful to see.
Yes.
Not that easy to pull off. But it may take him 3 or 4 tries to make it, right?
Yeah.
Depending on how far away he's going to shoot
it. It's not going to be like Kareem. You know, it's going to probably be one of those running ones.
Okay.
Where Kareem, would you know, he was...
Okay. Well, I mean, Kareem shot him from the free throw line.
Yes!
No, seriously.
Yes!
And I got to say this again. Meadowlark Lemon, the most uncanny... The
he shot him from
Pete
half
Maravich,
court.
He shot him from half court. I saw him when I was a little kid. I used to go every year to the Municipal Auditorium downtown Oklahoma City to watch Meadowlark in... And all the head
Curly Neal.
Curly Neal. It's just like it's the most spectacular basketball I've ever seen in my life. Nothing ever like it.
Right.
It was truly magical to watch this. That Meadowlark Lemon would shoot a half court hook on cue and make it.
Yeah,
it's it was kind of a baby hook.
Yeah,
but it was a hook nonetheless.
Yes,
and he would make it. Okay, well LeBron, you're on. Are you going to shoot like an 8-foot hook or a?
Roll through the lane.
Well, like
you're
magic,
magic
hook. Baby hook
against the Celtics.
I was there. I saw it, and it was about I don't know 6 or 8
but,
feet, maybe something like that. Okay, I would love that.
Yeah.
Okay, so you think he's already sort of plotting it out? He's scripting out the scene in his mind.
Yeah.
I want to do this. Do you want to do it in the first quarter? Or you want to do it in the fourth quarter? Do you want to? Make
it all depends on how many points he's away from it. If he gets, let's just say he gets 30-40 tonight. That leaves him 49 short. He gets another 25-30 against the Pelicans. Now that leaves him, you know, 22-19 short. Now, does he play OKC or does he wait for the Bucks on the Thursday?
Okay.
I need you to do it on the Tuesday.
Well, obviously, your odds would be slightly better, maybe a lot better against Oklahoma City. Not that they're not playing well, but they're not the defensive team that Milwaukee is.
No.
But again, there's no pressure to this. It's not like,
no.
I got to figure out how to score against Milwaukee. You can score against Milwaukee.
Because remember last time he played against Milwaukee, he scored.
He scored a lot.
Right.
Okay? And you can, but they're really good on defense.
Yeah, they're very formidable. Yes.
And Giannis is one of the best rim protectors. So you probably should
He got
away
remember, he got the chase down block on LeBron.
Okay? All right, he did. To me, I was thinking before you brought up Skyhook, I had not thought of that. But I was thinking logo 3, like a bomb 3, like a 30-some foot 3.
Well, what about a dunk? Because he's known for dunks.
He is. He didn't ever do the dunk contest,
no,
but you could light it up as long as Giannis doesn't have something to say about that.
Right.
You wouldn't want to get blocked.
No, we dunk on Leonard.
Okay.
Oh, for the record, Giannis don't want that. He don't want that poster. That's a poster.
Okay.
And we're gonna put up under there. This is where LeBron broke the all-time score list on Giannis' head.
Okay, if you could pull that off, that would be legendary. That would be epic.
You never overcome that. Giannis can win 3 MVPs.
That is true.
And
I
everybody,
would agree.
And everybody,
if you got posterized on the shot that eclipsed Kareem.
Giannis, you can't do that. Hey, let it go, Giannis. Let it go.
Okay. Well, you don't think LeBron is wherever he is right now, kick back thinking, well, I could do this. I could do that. The beautiful part about this is you can completely control this narrative.
Yeah.
Because this record is now within reach and within total control.
It would be different, Skip, if he was 3,000, 4,000 points away in year 20. Mm-hmm. Now what's going to happen? Now it's kind of like Malone. Skip, we were the foregone conclusion that we thought Karl Malone was going to break this record. Mm-hmm. We thought he was going to be – and then all of a sudden he just – fell completely apart, went to the Lakers, he fell apart, knee, and then boom, it didn't happen. 36, I think he had 36,000. Mm. LeBron is 89 points away. It's going to happen.
Okay.
We're just trying to pinpoint the date of the game in which it's going to happen.
So help me out. How do you think whichever opposing team it is, Thunder or Bucks, how do you think they will react as a defensive unit when LeBron is a point away and within a field goal or a three-point shot of breaking? Do you think they'll go Washington Generals against the Globetrotters, the team that toured with the Globetrotters?
Right.
They would just kind of go through
the
motions?
They were just there, yeah.
Okay. Would the other team just sort of let him do what he wanted to do? Do you want to dunk this? We won't really fight you. We won't contest?
No, I think they'll contest. The question is, Skip, well, probably it's in that building, you know, they're going to the PA announcer is going to be LeBron James is points, you know, this many points away.
Yep.
So they'll be hearing it.
They will know.
Skip, they can, when Kareem threw the sky hook, they contested it. It wasn't just like an open shot, a layup. He threw a typical sky hook, and then he was just able to elevate and throw it.
Well, it's unguardable. I mean, it's indefensible.
Right.
Except you just hope he misses.
You hope he misses. Because you were blocking it.
What is 77-2?
Yeah, he's 7-2.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he was beautiful to watch because he had great form with it.
Yes.
And he shot it from its apex. Yeah. Well, there's no way you can touch the
and
ball.
The thing was, Skip, we've seen every other shot get replicated. We've seen Michael Jordan the fall away and people hit the fall away or the one-legged shot like a Dirk Nowitzki. We've never seen anybody consistently throw that shot.
Right.
The one-legged shot now is commonplace. When Dirk did it, we like, how you do that? Kevin Durant will do it. LeBron will do it. Luka does it all the time. Jokic does it all the time. Everybody's shooting one-legged shots.
So would you say that Kareem's skyhook was shot from the highest point of any shot in NBA history?
Probably.
Because no jump shooter, even though Bird kind of shot it back over his head.
Or KD's.
Yeah, KD's.
But here's the thing.
But I don't think it's high as – but remember, he's extending high as he can extend, and the ball's leaving his fingertips up here.
And he has his shoulder between you and the ball.
Well, you're blocked off.
You're right.
You can't get at
it. So he's throwing the ball – he's throwing the jump shot, the hook from over here.
Right.
Where you're shooting the jump shot from here.
Yeah, okay. So – unblockable. That would be a cool thing if LeBron could pull off shooting.
Hey, what do you mean, pull it off? Now go.
So he's been practicing?
There you go. See, if I were to tell you this information, I have to, you know.
No, you know what I would love? You know what I would love? If he broke it with a free throw. That would do
no, but that's so blah.
No, it's not.
No, that's blah.
Hadn't been blah during his career.
Yeah, that's so blah.
Well, I mean. Make a free throw.
I mean, Brady break the all-time passing record with a one-yarder. That was,
I'm not sure anybody in the history of football threw more one-yard touchdown passes than Tom Brady. Seriously, they were all 1 yard.
But you don't want the record breaker to be a 1 yard.
No, you don't.
or just Emmitt. Emmitt broke the record with a 1 yard run, Skip. At least he got like 12 or 13. It would have been nice to get like a 50-yarder, but it wasn't a 1 yard.
No.
Oh, Emmitt Smith breaks the record on a 1 yard run.
He probably ran out of bounds after 12 yards.
Now he got to get Seattle. Now he got like 12 or 13.
Yeah. He did.
That highlight's going to live on forever, guys.
Yeah.
It's got to be something that we want to watch over and over and over again. Mm. Please don't be a free throw.